So we started 2 weeks ago talking about we're in a war. Somebody say, I'm in a war. And so last week we saw 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, Paul's right to Timothy and he says, you must endure hardship as a good soldier. So we started talking about what a good soldier is. How many recognize, and I spent a lot of time in the introduction last week about how important it is that we understand we need to step up to the plate because the world needs us. How many know the world needs us? How many know the world needs us? And so we don't need to be ashamed. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be intimidated by a cancel culture that is trying to cancel out the word of God and the principles of God. You know what? Having done all to stand. Amen. You can clap for that. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. You know what? Just because somebody calls. Listen to me. Just because somebody calls you immoral. Because they don't know what morality is. Because they don't know the word of God. Doesn't mean you need to be intimidated by them. Now we need to always walk in love. Amen. I said, we always need to walk in love, but we don't need to walk in fear because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And what God has showed on my heart is you better teach Christians how to be tough. You better teach Christians how to be tough, and you better teach the people that God has put in your authority and under you, you better teach them how to be tough. And so that's what we're doing. So last week, we saw the first thing that we looked at was that it's so important that we understand a strong soldier understands he knows what team he's on and he's loyal to that team. He knows what team he's on and he's loyal to that team. Do you know what team you're on? Are you loyal to Team Jesus? Are you not ashamed of the gospel? You need to step up to the plate and recognize, I need not to be ashamed. The gospel, listen, all your friends and all your neighbors and all the people, all your family members and all these people that are, don't profess Jesus or profess Jesus. Oh yeah, I know Jesus. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But I just don't ever go to church. Listen, that's just craziness. It's just craziness. The Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Going to church should be something. Look at Jesus. How many know Jesus is our example? How many know Jesus went to church? This doctrine of demons that you can be saved, but you just go to a women's Bible study on Thursday night. Don't shout me down, women, when I'm preaching good. You just go to a women's Bible study on Thursday night. You know what? And let me tell you what's going on. There's no accountability. There's no shepherding. There's no shepherd there. Amen. There's no tithing there. There's no none of that there. It's just a fake out Christianity. And the Bible says at the end days that you're going to sit before God and God is going to say, depart from me, you doers of iniquity. I didn't know you. And you're going to say, no, but I went to a woman's Bible study on Thursday. You know, one time, ladies, are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, ladies, are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, ladies, are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't know why this is true, but it is true. One time, we decided to have a women's Christmas tea, and you know what? Tamara was getting ready, and we had it when this was in the South Sanctuary, and we expected like maybe 20 women. If everybody came, 20 women were going to be there, and half an hour before the thing started. You know what? I walked by here and there was like 40 women here. I called Tamara. I said, Tamara, there's 40 women here. You need to get here. And by the time the event started, there was over 80 women there. I'm like, yeah, you're like clapping. No, I just set you up. Amen. You're like, hey, that was awesome. So we tapped into this and we thought, what we need to do is we need to tap into this and we need to, recognize, wow, this could be a great sort of a great source of growth. No. We shut it down. Not the tea. We didn't go in there. Good, ladies, get out of here. No more tea. No, we didn't do that. But we thought we would continue in some kind of women's ministry and tap into these women. And sure enough, a lot of those women came to the women's night, whatever night it was. We're not talking about the women's ministry we have now. You said, Pastor, why would you shut such a thing down? Because these women just wanted another little Bible study. And when we talked to them about coming to church and having accountability and having a pastor, you know what, Pastor George, they didn't want to hear any of that. They didn't want to hear any of that. Let me tell you what, we need to toughen up the church. And to toughen up the church, you need to understand, you need to have a pastor. Amen? You need to have a pastor. You need to have accountability. Somebody say accountability. Oh, let's say it 5 times. Go. Ready? Account of what? I never even heard that word in term. You heard it at work, right? You don't show up on time at work. You do that for too long, you won't have a job. You know what that's called? Accountability. They're holding you accountable to your actions. We understand it at work, but then we step into the church and then we're getting on in, we get on pastors. It's like, wait a minute, I don't want no accountability. You know what I mean? You're over the line. I'm not over the line. We just haven't taught it. Amen. So we have to understand whose side we're on, and we need to be loyal to Team Jesus. We need to be loyal to Team Jesus, number one. Number two, look at your neighbor, say, two is going to be good. Number two, a strong soldier knows about the weapons that are available to him, and he understands the power, and he uses them all. The time for his benefits and his benefits for others. Let me say that again. He knows about the weapons that are available to him, and he understands their power, and he uses them all. I don't know why I spent the time. And he uses them, watch this, to benefit him and to benefit others. Look at your neighbor and say, you have weapons. I want to talk about, we're going to spend some time talking about prayer, talking about the armor of God. I'm going to go through the armor of God. But today, the main weapon I want to talk about is the weapon of your words. Somebody say the weapon of your words. It's so interesting, as last week, I started talking about the character of God. And I said, God is good all the time. And we don't understand because, you know what? Bad things happen. How many know bad things happen on this earth? And so we think, you know what? God is a sovereign God. That means he's all powerful. And so if God, you know what? You know, why in the world did God not? I mean, you know what? I mean, I hope it doesn't happen. But what a shame it would be if Tiger Woods never plays golf again. I got no Tiger Woods fans in here. Thank you. Connie has her hands. No, well, you know what? It's like golf. I just go miniature golfing, Pastor. That's all I do. Does Tiger Woods play miniature golf? Because I don't know. Okay. Anyway, Tiger Woods is a great golfer, and he got in a car accident. And you say, well, you know, why didn't God stop that? Well, I taught you last week. Good theology, you have to have all the ingredients. And so God wanting us to have a relationship with him. Did I tell you how I got Tamar to marry me? Did I tell you this story yet? I was like, oh man, I want her to marry me. I thought this would be so romantic. Does the monorail still exist? Is the monorail still in Disneyland? Come on. Okay. Well, I love the monorail, real quiet, going around the whole place. I thought, oh, I'm going to go into the last cart. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to ask my bride to be. Hopefully, she'll say yes. I'm going to ask her to marry me. And when I was a kid, I always remember Disneyland was open late, right? I went there. I had the ring. I was all set. I'm all, this is going to be awesome. And we get to Disneyland, and it's closed. It was Sunday, and they closed at 6, and we got there like 6:30. It was closed. I'm like, Disneyland's closed? You know what? I took my Mickey ears off. I was very, I was very disappointed. I was bummed out. But we went to Tony Romo's. You know, there's not a lot of Tony Romo's open anymore, but it's a great place to go. And they have great, great ribs. Oh, so good. And so I took her there, and I thought, well, it's not the monorail, but that's okay. They got good food, and I'll ask her. And I got on my knees, but before I got on my knees, I wasn't sure that she would say yes. So I had a buddy who had a gun, and I loaded the gun with some bullets, and I said, hey, honey, I just want to let you know, this is loaded, you know what I mean? I showed her the bullets, and then I closed the chamber, and then I said, you know what, will you marry me? And, you know, and thank God, she said yes, hallelujah. Even then, it took some prompting, you know what I mean? I had to show her the bullets, and then she said, yeah. How many know that didn't happen? Come on, how many, you missed a good time to agree with me on that. How many know that didn't happen? No, hallelujah. Tamar was happy to say yes to me. I didn't need a gun. But how many know if that's what I needed, how many know that wouldn't have a relationship? That wouldn't have any meaning. Oh, yay. She said, honey, can you turn if you have a phone, please turn your phone off. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yes. Listen, and we learned last week that stop blaming God for stuff. God allows all kinds of stuff to happen because he is a God who, even though he is all-powerful, he allows things to happen. And we get all jacked up because we start blaming God for everything that goes wrong. And a lot of the stuff, come on, a lot of the stuff. Give your hand like this. Say, a lot of the stuff that's going on in your life that have messed up things that happen in your life are because of choices that you have, and me too, that we've made. Okay? But then there's other stuff that it wasn't choices that we made, but it was just the fact that something happened over here, and God in his willingness to have relationship with, yes, he could have just made it where everybody just, yeah, I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. But that wouldn't have had any relationship with God. Who had toast this morning? Raise your hand if you had toast this morning. Thank you. You had toast, boom, and you got done with the toast. You know what I mean? It was so good, and you're like, I love you, toaster. You're so kind to me. Did you do that? Did you do that? You did that. Okay. We'll talk after because you got issues. Okay. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying. And we learned that. And we said, when God, Jesus says this, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We have confused the two, and we have falsely accused God of doing things that weren't his fault. David says in the Psalms, God only does wondrous things. I can't explain it all, but I know the truth is the truth. And for us to void John 10:10, it's going to jack us up. I said, it's going to jack us up. You've got to have be resolute in your mind that God is good and he's on your side. And you need to be loyal to him because he is loyal to you. Amen. Well, it's in this same kind of misunderstanding and mistruth that I come up with this. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Who's ever heard that? Okay, but don't raise your hand now. But I would question the fact of whether we really believe it. I mean, really believe it. Because I believe that if we really believed it, then you would have no problem me listening to everything that you said last week. Oh, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So I want to go over this with you, and it's going to be helpful. Because we need to make up our minds that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we get this down in our heart, then it will change what we how we act and what we say. And when we start changing what we say, it's when our lives will start to get better. See, I'm telling you, I'm telling you prophetically, many people in the body of Christ really don't believe it. Well, let me tell you how Satan acts. Why is this true? Well, my first point is this. Number one, or A, Satan will mock and belittle God's word, hoping that you will believe him. He mocks this. He belittles it. Think about this. Think about this in your understanding of the word. Satan uses people to mock God and what he said. He always has. Think about the 10 spies. Who were the 10 spies? Do you know who the 10 spies were? They were all leaders that Moses picked. Leaders. And out of these 10 spies, 8 of them said, I know what God said, but the enemy's big. And they talked about how big the enemy was. See, coming against what God said. Who's doing that? Leaders. I can say it like this. Leaders in the church. Amen. Some of the men, most of the people that came against the prophets in the Old Testament, you know who they were? They were leaders in the church. Most of the people who came against Jesus were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Who were these? Leaders in the church. I know God said this, but are you hearing me? And you know who comes against? Come on, you guys, are you paying attention? This is a training center. I need to train you. Because for the most part, in the body of Christ, we don't believe. I'm telling you what I think. What I sense, what I hear. We don't believe that death and life is in the power of the tongue. We either don't believe it or we're crazy. Crazy in that, why are we speaking death all the time? This is craziness. Why won't we speak life to our families? Why won't we speak life to our marriages? Why aren't we speaking life to our businesses? Why aren't we speaking life, you know, to our situations? So I believe you're not crazy. I believe you just don't really, when it comes down to it, I believe that most people just really don't believe it. And unfortunately, most Christians don't believe it. And we have allowed, come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We have allowed the modern day Pharisees and Sadducees to dictate what the truth is. There is such a mocking against the power of the tongue. I'm not talking about from the world. I'm talking about from the church. Turn on Christian television. Turn on Christian radio. There's so much mocking against it. Grab it, blab it. What's that? It's a mocking. It's a mocking of the word of God. And we sit there in our ignorance and, you know what, and think, oh, you know what, well, they, you look at how big their church is. Look at how, where they went to, seminary. Amen. Some of the seminaries that are in, the United States should be, I'm fully convinced Jesus would absolutely, if he had a choice, close them down because of the false doctrine that is spewed. And this is one of the main false doctrines. This is one of the main doctrines that's made fun of and belittled in the body of Christ. We think that those of us who are teaching this are just kind of the crazy Pentecostals, and that the real theologians, the deep thinkers, don't believe this. And I would argue and say, listen, let God be true and every man a liar. Pay attention today how many scriptures I use. This is throughout the Word of God. All creation was created through God's Word. Amen. So get an understanding. Number one, Satan will mock and belittle God's word, hoping that you'll believe him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If you are convinced through their mockery, through their belittling, that this doctrine of power in your tongue or power in the word, in your words, isn't true, then you are susceptible. You're one of the ones that he may devour. Listen, make up your mind. At this church, the word of God is our final authority. I don't care how many theologians mock it. I don't care how many, you know what, people in their churches mock it. I don't care what the Christian television says. I don't care what Christian radio, and some of the Christian television and radio is outstanding, by the way. But there are some that mock it and they belittle it. And I'm telling you what, if any of you are listening to something on the radio that is against the word of God, against what Jesus said, you know what? I know Jesus said this, but you just need to turn them off. Take heed to what you hear. Amen. You want to hear some good doctrine? Discoverhope.us. We got it full. I'll load your gun. Amen. Amen. Time out. Appreciated last week what you said by raising your hand about your parents. About, you know what, your understanding that wisdom, that your parents were wise. And I'm just telling you, I haven't got it out of my head all week. It was a great testimony to you and your family, and it will serve you well. So I would say continue to understand that. Your parents aren't perfect. Your grandparents are perfect. But they have a lot of wisdom. And as you at your young age have recognized that, it will serve you well. All right, where was I? Oh, yes. So you can't let them belittle that. You know, the Bible says a little leavens the whole loaf. Understand, somebody says, yeah, but you, Pastor, you have to be balanced. Can I tell you what? Balanced theology isn't belief and unbelief. The word of God and false theology. That is not a balance. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. The Bible says that narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. So I'm saying get focused and recognize. The ones that Satan can take out, he's seeking whom he may. Somebody say may. Thank you for having a pen and a pad. No, really, it speaks to your valuing the word of God. And I'm just like, night note, it really honors me and I appreciate it. What's your name? Benny. Thank you. So what I'm saying is that Satan is looking whom he may devour. Who may he devour? He's going to devour those who don't believe the word of God. I don't care who says it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yeah, but he's a pastor. Yeah, but if he doesn't believe that life and death and the power of the tongue, I don't have time to listen. How many of you only have so much time? I don't have time to listen to him. Amen. And you need to understand what Satan's trying to do. He is trying to belittle this theology, this truth in the Word of God. Why? Because if you understand it, Jackson, he is in trouble. Amen. If you understand the power of your words, he is in trouble. That's why it's one of the main doctrines that he comes against to mock. Amen. How many ever watch Andy Griffith? Raise your hand if you're an Andy Griffith fan. Best thing on television. Amen. No, not the best thing, but it's good. Amen. But how many know Barney Five is jacked up? You know, how many know how many bullets Barney Five has? Come on, I'm going to see who really are fans. Oh, you're a good one. How many know where the bullet is? It's in his pocket, amen? How many ever watch when he takes it and Andy will say, okay, you know what, we're going to do something, you need it. And so he'll get all excited and he'll take the gun out, he'll put it in his, and he'll put it in his holster and he'll shoot it. Well, luckily, it won't shoot the foot. And then Barney will look at, and then Andy will look at him and say, you know, give me your gun back. See, let me tell you what. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Whether you believe it or whether you don't, it is true. But when you don't believe it, you are swinging that gun around. You have no idea how powerful it is. How many know, what if you had a gun, but you thought it was a water gun? You thought it was, and you're like, pow, pow, pow. Everybody's like ducking. You're like, you don't want to get wet. That's what's taking place in the body of Christ. You don't understand the power that you have. God wants you to understand the power that you have. God wants you to start believing what he says. Notice that Satan will mock the weapons that God has given to us. He's hoping that you will believe him. He's hoping you'll believe Satan. That the power of the tongue is stupid. It's new age. That it is actually false and that it does not work. Satan has even persuaded religious people to come against the weapon. Notice that it is not the first time this trick has been used. Satan uses religious people over and over to be the ones that would come and spew his mistruths. Let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruits. Amen. Number two, understand this. God's system of building or destroying are determined by our words. God's system of building or destroying are determined by our words. Building what? Building whatever. Your good relationship with your husband or wife. Your good relationship with your kids. Your good business. Amen. Your good, you know what? Whatever it is that you're looking. Or your bad relationship with your husband or wife. Your bad relationship with your kids. One of the first sermons that I preached, it was in this church, and I preached it, and it was called, What Are You Building? Understand, you're building something. You're doing something with your words. God's system of building or destroying are determined by your words. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says this, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred. That word conveyed, we don't use that word very much, but it means to transport or to carry to a place. God has carried us from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom, the Bible says, us into the kingdom of his son and love. Say there's two kingdoms. God has a way of working that is different than your old ways. Amen. How many know if you go to England and you drive on the, what side of the street do we drive on? We drive on the left side. And you go, Lord, I don't care. They're wrong. And you drive on the right side, you're going to be in trouble. Or we drive on the right. Okay, we drive on the right. Okay, you go, no, that's right, man. I'm not driving on the left. All these people are crazy. How many know? No, you're going to be the crazy one. What am I saying? I'm saying you've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness to a new system. So take that reality and start using that to your benefit. Amen. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. That is God's system. Use it for your benefit. The power of gravity. How many know that is a principle, whether you believe it or not? How many know there was people back when, and they believed that flying was impossible? Well, how ridiculous. No, how ridiculous. How many know birds were proof that flying is possible? How many know there were birds back then? Come on, are you with me? But see, people are stupid sometimes. There's birds flying around. Pastor George, imagine. There's birds flying around and people believe that flying was impossible. How many know sometimes you just get so adamant in your belief that you can't get over yourself? But there were a couple of guys, and they believed that flying was possible. Do you remember the Wright brothers' first flight? That thing flew for like 30 seconds. It was kind of dorky, you know what I mean? But what happened? It caught lift. They saw it did fly. Listen, if you have a wing and you rush air over it fast enough, watch this, fast enough, it will raise that, it will, the law of lift will cause that wing to lift up off the ground. And if you connect, what's a plane? All a plane is a wing connected with a fuselage with a bunch of people in it. Then they put jets on it, and they're able to sustain that